The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to kick things off, though, by talking about Donald Trump's proposed new head of the US Department of Commerce. Howard Lutnick is his name. He's currently vice chair of Donald Trump's transition team. People here might not have heard his name before, but he is a big name in Trump circles. He was at that famous MSG rally, as they call it, the Madison Square Garden rally last month. And here's what he had to say.
What in the world are we doing? We're letting the rest of the world eat our lunch. And it is time to make America great again.
Yes, when was America great again? He went on at that rally to suggest it was great 124 years ago, around the turn of the last century, and all we had were tariffs everywhere. So what does that mean for Ireland? Emma Howard is with me. Emma's an economist at TU Dublin. Emma, what does this guy believe in terms of the global economy and the kind of shape and structures that would govern that economy?
Yeah, so he's a billionaire, another billionaire businessman, and a former donator to the Democrats, but he said that the Democrats have moved away from his worldview, and he's been a long-time contributor to Trump's campaign and friend of Donald Trump. So he's the CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald, which is a big financial services firm, but he really has business interests that reach across all the industries in the US. He is, as you mentioned, he's been co-leading the Trump transition team. And part of his responsibility there is to appoint a number of roles, over 4,000 roles in the Trump administration. Interestingly, a lot of those roles are, for example, appointing people to regulators of a lot of the businesses that he is involved in. And he has not divested or stepped away from his business activities. So there is a question as to, you know, whether there will be any divestment of those financial interests once he takes up his role in the Department of Commerce. But as you can see from that clip you played, so that part of that clip that we heard was that he is very much in favour of tariffs. And he is also, the other part of that rally was, he said, you know, there was no income tax back when America was great in 1900. So yeah, he has also suggested that income tax be eliminated.
Yeah, life expectancy was probably half what it is today, and, you know, infant mortality through the roof. And yeah, anyway, we won't get into all of that and the kind of the lunacy of wanting to go back in time 125 years. But let's talk about tariffs. And Donald Trump has talked about kind of 60% tariffs on Chinese goods and tariffs anywhere between 10 and 20% across the boards on goods coming from other parts of the world, including the European Union.
Yes.
So how much would that change kind of economic paradigms that have been good for Ireland over the last 20 years?
Those tariffs would have a huge impact on the Irish economy. And there's the direct impact, but then there's also the knock-on impact of those tariffs on the global economy. So if we look, first of all, at our exports, we exported last year 54 billion euros worth of goods to the US. We're the third largest exporter in the EU to the US. And that obviously is, you know, a big part of our economy. So we're a huge exporter to the US. If tariffs are placed on those goods, those tariffs increase the prices for consumers, and that will, of course, reduce the demand for Irish exports to the US.
And the reason, I mean, from a kind of selfish point of view, that the reason that he would be supportive of this, I guess, the logic is that that reduction in demand for products coming from Ireland and elsewhere in the EU will drive up demand for products manufactured in the US that will therefore be cheaper, no tariffs applied.
And that's the rationale that they're putting forward.
Yeah.
We've also, you know, during the campaign, we heard Trump describe tariffs as a tax on the foreign producer of goods, which again is a complete misrepresentation of the impact of tariffs. So tariffs as a tax are really distortionary for a couple of reasons. So one is that what they do, as you rightly point out, is they move that production towards different products that are not necessarily ones in which the US would have a competitive advantage. So, you know, it'll encourage them to start producing things that actually they would be much better off if they were to import and focus on producing what they're good at producing. Second thing it does is it raises prices for consumers. And we've seen, because when Tariff was in power in his last presidency, he did implement some tariffs, and all of the studies showed that those tariffs actually reduced job growth and they had a detrimental impact on those industries. So it's going to have a negative impact overall in the US, but it's also going to have knock-on effects for the global economy. Because if Trump does implement these universal tariffs, there is going to be retaliation. And that retaliation can spark a trade war, and we will see tariffs being put on US imports into the EU. China will likely retaliate. That increases inflation. It will dampen the outlook for economic growth globally. And it's going to have big knock-on effects on Ireland as well as the rest of the world.
So these are kind of worrying economic trade winds. And I guess, to be fair to him, it's not often I say that, it's not just Donald Trump. I mean, the European Union and Ursula von der Leyen herself has talked about imposing tariffs on EVs made in China, for example, as a way of kind of protecting car manufacturing jobs in France and Germany. So kind of what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. We're at it here to a degree in a European sense.
Yeah, there's definitely issues with those tariffs as well, because, of course, you know, what we need is a green transition, right? One of the other big issues with Trump coming into the White House is the impact it's going to have on climate change and, you know, his threatening to withdraw from the Paris Agreement. And putting tariffs on goods that are going to help us reduce global emissions is really a bad policy. In addition, of course, those tariffs themselves are distortionary and really just impact on consumers and harm the and reduce those gains from trade.
That I guess in the public narrative around populism and the rise of populism, we don't often focus on this element of it, but it is an aspect of it, isn't it? And I mean, we are quite likely looking at an era of kind of protectionism, are we, around the world?
It's possible. And as a small globe, as a
mean? Let's assume exactly. that's going to be the landscape for the next 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Kind of the era of protectionism, the kind of neoliberal world order turned on its head. Protectionism is here now for a couple of decades. What does that mean for us and our economic model?
As a small open economy, we are very vulnerable to what happens in the global economy. And that reliance on the US that compounds our risk, right? Because we also have the situation here where we have now 1 euro in every 4 that the government takes in revenue comes from corporation tax receipts. And we know the vast majority of those are paid by American foreign multinationals. So we've got a very narrow tax base in Ireland. Our income tax base is really small as well. So 80% of our income tax is paid by 20% of earners. So what we're doing with this public money is we're very reliant on what's happening in the rest of the world, and particularly the US economy, to fund our public spending. And we're seeing in the general election manifestos now that at least the three big parties, the ones who are most likely to lead the next government, are proposing narrowing that tax base even further. They're proposing lots more tax cuts that are not funded by equivalent revenue raising measures. And so instead of kind of preparing for or future proofing our public finances against these headwinds that we know are going to be rather damaging, they're kind of adding fuel to the fire with these spending increases.
And what then would be the impact, say, on our relationship with, you know, the other member states in the European Union? Would we naturally begin to look more inward? And I don't mean inward in a kind of an Irish sense, but a European sense. We'd see that as our main, it is our main market, but, you know,
the
US is suddenly shut off to us to a degree.
We already do most of our trade in the European Union countries, but we have been relying, particularly in terms of our public finances, on these corporation tax receipts that are coming from those foreign multinationals. So in terms of kind of future proofing and thinking about what can we do to protect our economy, investment in particular areas that retain our attractiveness for foreign direct investment, you know, potentially from outside of the US if that market becomes harder or more closed off. So, you know, things like our infrastructure challenges, addressing those, things like education, ensuring lifelong learning and that our workforce. So, you know, at the moment we are in a reasonably good position, being the only English speaking country with access to the European market. But we are also relatively younger and relatively better educated than our European counterparts. So looking at maintaining those attractive qualities about Ireland as a location for investment, but also incentivizing research and development and innovation and entrepreneurship of domestic industries, so that we can generate employment and skilled and highly paid employment, because that's the other aspect of those multinationals. While they only account for 20% of our employment, they pay a third of our wage bill. So it's a lot of those high earners who are paying the majority of our income tax are being employed by foreign multinationals. And,
to a degree, I suspect that, you know, a lot of these companies and people like yourself who are kind of trying to look into the crystal ball or read the tea leaves, it's maybe not so much Donald Trump and this administration, it's what it begets. You know what I mean? People will maybe weather a 4-year economic storm or kind of an upending of the order. If it's going to lurch back to the old way, they'll just kind of stay put and they'll deal with it. If this looks like it's kind of the norm for the foreseeable, that precipitates policy changes and changes of kind of location and tax policy and everything.
It does, and you know, we've already seen policy changes when it comes to the agreed global minimum tax rate. So the OECD reforms, we increased our tax rate from the 12.5%, the corporation tax rate, to that new agreed global minimum of 15% at the beginning of this year. The other pillar of those OECD reforms is to try and change the structure so that taxes are paid in the country in which the goods are consumed, particularly if we look at the ICT sector and where, you know, you don't have physical goods, it's intellectual property and so on. So I think that's a long way off. But if that was to be implemented, that's going to have a big impact on us as well. And really, we need to be thinking about how we shore up our public finances and how we keep our spending increases, our core spending increases within sustainable levels.
That Apple tax buddy won't be long disappearing if we have to dip into it to plug these types of holes. Emma, listen, thanks a million for coming in to us. Really instructive and informative. Emma Howard is an economist at TU Dublin.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.